Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. On the program this week, we're very lucky to have him as Jimmy Vielkheim, Albany Bureau Chief for Politico. Welcome back, Jimmy. Always fun when you're here.
Alan, thanks for having me. Always good to see you.
Yeah, big dark bags under your eyes. You've been working on lately?
You know, there's no rest for the weary. We finished up the state budget season on the head of the April 1 deadline. Then we had the New York primary, and then we finally got some reports that Joe Prococo and Todd Howe, two longtime intimates of Governor Andrew Cuomo, are in the crosshairs of federal prosecutors. So I and I think many other reporters at the Capitol have spent the last few weeks really working hard to try and paint a picture of exactly what prosecutors are looking at, who these two men are, what they've been doing, and of course, what does it all mean for the Cuomo administration and the people of this state?
Well, for the people, Jimmy, who are just coming in from Mars, why don't you go over what this is all about?
So here's what we know. And of course, like all ongoing investigations, there are likely things out there that we don't know. And there are things that are being looked at that might be stinky, that may be crimes, and things that are stinky looking that may not be crimes. So let me just say, for this whole conversation, no one's been charged with a crime. And, you know, these matters are under investigation. But what we know is that Governor Cuomo has made the cornerstone of his upstate economic development program the work of the SUNY Polytechnic Institute. Now, SUNY Poly actually started very close to this studio in Western Albany, where a man named Alan Calieros developed nanotechnology research centers using public funds. And the idea of these centers is you build a research facility, a clean room, you build some tools for making state-of-the-art chips, and then the public, SUNY Poly in this instance, does this, and then you do business with private companies, and all the Toshibas and the Taiwan Semiconductors and the Intels of the world, because the research, upfront research costs are so high, they all come to you. And then once you have them, you can teach your students, you can learn from them, and you're going to bring these smart tech people to the region. It's going to revitalize the economy. And then this has been what's been going on in Albany really since, I think, the mid-90s. So Andrew Cuomo, when he came to office, saw this going on, and he put it on steroids. He charged Calieros with taking this model in Albany and spreading it to other areas of upstate New York. So this SUNY Poly has been at the forefront of developing a $900 million solar panel factory in South Buffalo that's going to be leased to SolarCity. It has developed two facilities in Syracuse, one of which is looking at the film industry, another of which is looking at LED lighting. And of course, the campus in Albany continues to grow and grow so much that they had to actually move the road around the site so that the facility could keep growing. Now, what has happened is SUNY Poly, because it's a, you know, you think of a school, right? And you think of kind of stodgy higher education, leaves on trees, a guy named Chartok, you know, talking at 9 a.m. with his lecture, et cetera. But Cuomo sees academia as an opportunity to partner with industry. And this is a debate in academia, and, you know, let's not have it now, but, you know, you're certainly familiar with it. Cuomo sees higher education as an opportunity for economic development. But the law sets up a few barriers to that, right? The law treats SUNY as a school that shouldn't necessarily be renting its space to nonprofits. So SUNY Poly had to set up these nonprofits, these management companies called Fort Schuyler Management, Fuller Road Management. They're the ones who did a lot of the development work. They're the ones who are buying some of these assets and doing direct business with the companies. And the result is you have very complex things going on, where SUNY is involved, these entities are involved, you have money coming from the state's Economic Development Department, which is called Empire State Development, and that is not really a state agency, it's a public authority. And so the result is you have multiple layers here. You have not perfectly clear lines of accountability. You have overlap in some areas where this guy Calieros, who is in charge of the school, is also in charge of the nonprofit real estate entities. And you've got a lot of money moving through. So enter the prosecutors. We first found out about this probe in September of 2015. And what we found out was that Preet Bharara, the prosecutor who I think your listeners are probably familiar with at this point, because in addition to his talk at the Linda earlier this year, he was the one who brought charges against Sheldon Silver, the former Speaker of the State Assembly, Dean Skelos, the former leader of the State Senate, as well as, I think, at least a dozen other state lawmakers and city lawmakers, too. He started looking at this program and looking at how the contracts got awarded to build these multi-million dollar facilities. And we're talking big money. When I say multi-million, I'm not talking $5 million. I'm talking $700 million, $100 million. Lots of money moving around. Yeah. And as Bharara has scrutinized things, he's seen a lot of these overlapping layers. And he has also seen some people who are in the mix. Now, one is this man named Todd Howe. Todd Howe is a lobbyist. He has offices in Washington, D.C., and he goes back to the administration of Mario Cuomo. I think you were saying, Alan, that you knew him during the first Cuomo administration, when he was an advance man, which is the person who kind of goes with the governor and makes sure that he's got a bottle of water and that the plane is there and the car is good and, you know, you've got a cloth to shine the shoes.
And in Mario's case, Jimmy had what we called a butt board because he had a bad back. So he had this board which was carried around and put under him with the seal of the Empire State on it. I kid you not.
So he carried the butt board.
Yeah. And he always left it wherever he went. We'd call the governor's office and say, oh, the governor left his butt board here. And he'd say, no, you just keep it.
Well, so Howe is as close as you can get to the Cuomo family,
right.
I think. And, you know, what's come out is that while he was registering some of his lobbying activity, he wasn't registering some of his other activity, advising companies in upstate New York. We found out that he was advising SUNY Polytechnic Institute through the Albany-based law firm of Whiteman, Osterman, and Hanna. Howe had a separate subsidiary called WOH Government Solutions. And so once this became public, we found out that he was not just advising SUNY Poly, but he was also advising some of the very developers that were building these multi-million dollar facilities for SUNY Poly. So prosecutors discovered that. They raised their eyebrows. They said, this is a potential conflict of interest. And they subpoenaed the Cuomo administration to try and get documents related to what's going on, how these contracts were doing, and what exactly Howe was doing. Now, at the same time that Howe was advising these companies building the facilities, SUNY Poly, which was commissioning the facilities with taxpayer money, Howe was also raising money for the Cuomo campaign from these very development companies.
So let me get this straight, Jimmy. I'm trying to hang on here because it's terrific stuff you're giving us. On the one hand, there is the potential that Howe was making money and clearing the way for some of these myriad of layers, as you say, right? Isn't that one of the issues?
Well, on the one hand, we know he was advising Calieros,
right,
and SUNY Poly, which was in charge of building these facilities. On the other hand, we know, and we don't know everything, because as I said, this stuff was not disclosed as lobbying as in the state it is required to be. And, you know, you could talk about whether he was, Mr. Howe and others are correctly splitting the hairs of the definition of lobbying under the state, or whether they're just, you know, not registering when they should be. That's a question that I can't answer and one that's going to come out over time. He was advising the companies. He was also an informal volunteer on Governor Andrew Cuomo's reelection campaign in 2014. Where he helped to set up events. You know, he was a logistics man. He knew where the butt board needed to go, and so he could be trusted. And at the same time was helping to raise money for the campaign, the mother's milk of politics, from, again, among other companies, some of these very companies that were his clients. So how did that work? Was there a tithe being levied against these companies? Is this all just a big coincidence where the same companies that contributed to the campaign got the contracts, and they also hired the guy, Howe, who was also working for SUNY Poly? And then adding into the mix is another man who has known Howe for many years, and I believe actually brought this man into the Cuomo fold, a guy named Joe Prococo. Now, I think some listeners of this show have heard of Joe Prococo. He is and has been for at least two decades one of Andrew Cuomo's top confidants. Joe Prococo worked in the administration and his title was Executive Deputy Secretary. He was, at the time he left the administration in January of this year, one of the highest paid aides to the governor. And he was really known as the governor's political enforcer.
As well as brother. The governor mentioned him in the father's eulogy.
Several times he's been likened publicly to a brother by Governor Cuomo. And I really do think of them in that way. These men are not just professional colleagues. They are friends and they are considered family. I know that their families have interacted in the way that you would see cousins interact. And, you know, I think it's almost fair to say that Prococo was treated like a brother in the Cuomo family. Now, we know, and Politico reported this week, that Howe and Prococo...
Let me just stop you to remind everybody we're talking to Jimmy Vielkind of Politico. Go ahead. Politico reported this week. I'm sorry.
Politico reported this week that Howe and Prococo actually shared an office at Cuomo's 2014 re-election campaign, a campaign that Joe Prococo managed. And while he was off the state payroll managing that re-election campaign, we found out that he started to take on consulting clients. And now, this may surprise you, but the people who paid Mr. Prococo consulting fees were development companies that were building these facilities for SUNY Poly and that had as their advisor Todd Howe. So it's unclear whether there was anything improper about Mr. Prococo taking these payments. We found out on April 29th that federal prosecutors led by Perara had served a subpoena on the Cuomo administration. And what we've heard from sources and what we've heard acknowledged by several people who have provided documents or talked to investigators is that they are looking into improper lobbying and conflicts of interest. Governor Andrew Cuomo this week said that the inquiry is looking at both Howe and Prococo, looking at whether they did anything improper, looking at whether the payments that Joe Prococo received in 2014 while he was managing the governor's campaign were properly disclosed, whether they were properly received, and whether or not they ran afoul of any of the state laws that restrict what business you can have and what business you can take if you're a former state official or if you're a once and future state official, as Prococo was, because he, after the campaign, went back onto the public payroll. Because, you know, it doesn't make sense if you're the Department of Health commissioner and you led a major contract to Chartok Corp for Medicaid management to be able to retire and the next day be paid a fat salary by Chartok Corp. We have laws against that. We have appearance bans. And so I think that that is one of the things that Governor Cuomo is talking about and that the prosecutor is looking at. We also found out that after the subpoena was served, Governor Cuomo, who had been shrugging off this Buffalo Billion investigation, this investigation into SUNY Poly, since it was first reported in September of 2015, has now commissioned an outside review from a former federal prosecutor, Bart Schwartz, to look into everything, find what's going on, try to shape up procedures, and report back to the governor. So that's where we are now.
That's amazing. Some of the things, Jimmy, that were so wonderful was at one point when they clearly wanted to award the administration clearly wanted to award it to one of the people who was bidding. They said, okay, you have to have been in business for 50 years. Remember that whole thing?
Well, there are three contracts that are certainly drawn the attention of prosecutors that we know about from sources. So there is one in Buffalo, which is what you're referring to. This is the solar panel factory, which is being developed on a former steel mill site south of the city. It has been trumpeted and heralded by the governor. It's going to create over 1,000 jobs when it's up and running. And this is the new economy. These are the new industrial jobs that Cuomo is touting as his major gift to Western New York, an area which, Alan, you might recall, didn't support him in the 2010 election. It went for Carl Paladino, his then challenger. So who's going to build this solar panel factory and how's it going to be built? Now, normally when the government builds something, you go through this bureaucratic process of public bidding where you say, I want to build a warehouse and I am accepting offers to build my warehouse. And I want my warehouse to be 1,000 feet by 2,000 feet. I want it to be air conditioned within 5 degrees of this. I want it to have 2 access roads and 5 bathrooms. And companies from around the state or from around the region say, I can build it for $2 million. I can build it for $3 million. And one day the government opens up the bids and they say, oh, Chartok Corp had the lowest bid, $1.5 million. We owe the taxpayers to get the cheapest bid. Congratulations, Chartok Corp, you're building this warehouse. But what happened with this solar panel factory was a different process. It was a design build process. And this is something that has been used in the private sector for years, but is more sort of starting to occur in the public sector. And state officials say that they need this. They need this because it grants them greater flexibility. It allows them to move quicker than that traditional bidding process. And so they use the design build process to build this factory and to build other SUNY Poly facilities around the state. Now, there are still bidders, but as you note, Alan, this solicitation for the solar panel factory initially had some eyebrow-raising requirements. One of them said you have to have significant experience building in Buffalo. Another said you have to have been in business for 50 years in Buffalo.
50 years.
And, you know, when you looked at the universe and people really examined this, they said, well, wait a minute, that's only one company that fits that criteria. So SUNY Poly and Calieros, its head, said, oh, that was a mistake. We meant to say 15. Someone just made a mistake in the contract and sent bid.
I'd sure like to see that person on the stand holding up their hand with one hand on the Bible and saying, yeah, it really was a mistake.
Well, and so what happened is the bids come in and the state went with LP Simonelli, which is a company that has been subpoenaed. It's been reported and acknowledged to me by sources, into looking into how they got the contract, looking into the campaign contributions that Louis Simonelli gave to the governor and whether that had any role in it, looking into whether how and why Simonelli retaining Todd Howe, which it did, how that might have played into the award.
I mean, they're looking into retaining him as a lobbyist, as a consultant.
As an advisor, I think. Yeah. Lobbyist is a specific word. I don't know if that's going to be in dispute.
Gotcha.
And so similar things happened in Syracuse. There was one company, Core Development, that bid on the project to build that film hub. It was the only company that bid, and it won the contract. Here in Albany, SUNY Poly wanted to build a dormitory, probably about less than 2 miles from this very studio where we're sitting. And, you know, put it out to bid. Columbia Development, a prominent local developer here, got the contract. It had already been buying land near the campus before the bids even went out. So, you know, that's what prosecutors are looking at.
So when you talk about Simonelli and these other corporations, one of the things that Preparara might be looking at is, was there a quid pro quo?
Well, that is what they're wondering. They're wondering, was the contract fairly bid? Was there a quid pro quo? Was there some sort of a payoff, a beneficence, a little, the VIG through, the vigorish that went through when this occurred? And you know, so the first thing is the campaign contributions. And I've been talking to LP Simonelli's lawyer, who says that, nope, no connection. LP Simonelli saw what Andrew Cuomo promised to do. They believed in Andrew Cuomo, and that's why they contributed to his campaign. It had nothing to do with any contracts that they received, etc. They also say that they had hired Howe to do work in central New York. Had nothing to do with its work on the Solar City Buffalo Billion project. And so there's no relationship there. Now, again, is this all a coincidence? I don't know. Is there some connection? I don't know. Is this something that prosecutors are looking at?
Yes. So, Jimmy Veale, kind of Politico. So tell me now, is Andrew Cuomo in trouble?
You know, right now, there's nothing that would indicate that the governor was directly involved in this. There's nothing to indicate even that the governor knew about this. Now, Alan, both you and I know that Andrew Cuomo has many criticisms and also one thing that we talk about that's also sometimes portrayed as a strength, and I think correctly, is that he's a micromanager. He's in the weeds. He knows what's going on in the government, and he's not disengaged the way some executives or some legislators are. And I think that that's a criticism often leveled at George Pataki.
Correct.
One of the governor's criticisms, he really was disengaged. And if he said, I had no idea this was going on, everyone would have nodded in agreement. Given what we know about the relationship between Cuomo and Prococo, I'm very skeptical of any claims that the governor might say that he had no idea what was going on. And we should note that Cuomo this week did say that he didn't ask Prococo about the payments he received, didn't ask him about any outside clients he might have had while he was managing the campaign, even though Prococo told him when he went to manage the campaign that he might take some outside clients. Cuomo said that he didn't ask and that he didn't think it was his job to ask. He said that the onus is on any state employee to know the rules and to follow them, and that they don't need to be cross-examined by him or by anyone about the rules. So let's take it up a level. Right now, I think that there is a big cloud of skepticism over the development activities of SUNY Poly. And as I said before, those activities have really been the foundation of Andrew Cuomo's work to try and revitalize upstate New York's economy. So if questions are raised about what SUNY Poly did, if there is some impropriety that's found about what SUNY Poly did, I think that that could put a stain on a major part of Andrew Cuomo's legacy in office.
Okay, so Jimmy Vielkind, let me ask you this. Cuomo announces that Prococo, who is in the middle of this whole thing, is his third brother and gives a eulogy for his father. He says all of that. There are those of us who believe, and I guess the whispering in Albany now is, who, if Andrew Cuomo did do something wrong, who will roll on the governor? Both of these guys were close to the governor. Prococo, the betting seems to be, will not roll. How is another whole story.
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I can't predict that. We do know that the way prosecutors approach these things is very, you know, very systematic.
Methodical.
Yeah, so. And they start with people and that they're trying to get, you know, the boss, the chief, the jefe, whatever. And so, you know, Prococo is certainly a person, having been such a close confidant to Andrew Cuomo for so long, who knows a lot about him. How, because of his closeness to Alan Calieros,
Let me just correct you. It's Elaine Calieros. Alan sort of gets a little too close to me, so I want to make that clear.
I'm sorry. I've heard both pronunciations, but I stand corrected. Thank you. So because of his closeness to Elaine Calieros, I think that both of these people know a lot about what's going on. They might have known what decisions were made. And so, you know, it's a question that I'm certainly looking for the answer to, but unfortunately, I can't answer it now.
No, of course not. But Calieros, for his part, quit some of these oversight companies that were put in place.
And the dormitory project that I mentioned before has been put out for a new bid.
Uh-huh.
So I think that as this probe has gone on, we're already starting to see the arc bend a little bit.
See and smell.
Well, we're starting to see changes being made, and I don't think it's unreasonable to assume, I certainly assume, that it has to be in some way related to the questions that have been raised by outside investigators.
So the press corps, you especially, have been looking at this very closely. It's got a lot of people holding their breath.
Yes, it's got a lot of people holding their breath. I already talked about how I think that this could impact the narrative of Cuomo's upstate economic development, but I also think it really gets to the heart of something that has been a criticism of Andrew Cuomo and has been a criticism of New York State government and Albany writ large for decades, which is the way politically connected people who have business and interest before the state, do business. And we've often seen, Alan, you and I have talked about this. You've talked about this with dozens, if not hundreds, of other guests. The correlation between campaign contributions, money going to political figures, and then state actions that benefit those contributors. I think that we're going to see a pattern of that here. I think it's going to be laid bare by people who were very close to the governor. And I think that it's going to provide a very clear example, once again, of that persistent criticism of Albany. And I know that Preet Bharara, because he has said as much, is hoping that maybe Albany will change the way it operates someday.
As Preet Bharara always says, stay tuned. We are out of time. Our guest has been the wonderful Jimmy Vielkind, Albany Bureau Chief for Politico. Jimmy, it's always great to see you here. I hope you'll come back again soon.
Thanks, Alan. Always a pleasure to be here with you and your listeners.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.